Shonen heroes are known for being big, loud, powerful. But what about their mentors? What about the people that shape those young, and sometimes not too young, men and women to become the heroes that they are?
But let's get real, mostly men.
Yeah, it's almost always men. Because this is shonen, not shoujo. And
I really like Shoujo's Bizarre Adventure, though. I think that's a great show. My stand is Rock You Like a Hurricane.
I think there might be a Rock You Like like a Hurricane.
Probably.
If there's not, I'd be surprised. Hi there, I'm Kaiser Nako.
Hi, I'm Ben, HBI2K Creighton.
And today, we're talking about a topic you actually brought up.
Yeah, I have fallen out of a lot of anime, period. But as I've gotten back into it, one of the titles that keeps on coming up again and again that I really fell in love with, surprising myself more than anyone,
is Boku no Hero Academia.
Yep, or My Hero Academia, if you're not annoying.
Yes, My Hero Academia is one of the biggest shonen properties out right now. It's definitely taken the spot of our fallen Naruto and, I guess we could say Bleach. I mean, Boruto is trying to keep it up, but let's be honest, it's a shell of its former self.
Really managed to carry the torch before, of course, passing it on to Black Clover, which is now the premier shonen property.
But today, we're going to talk about a very special part of My Hero Academia, a part that touched you very specially.
Yeah, when we first decided to make these shorter, more focused conversations, the one that sprang to my mind was, I want to talk about the relationship between Deku and All Might, because that struck me as so different and so much more relatable than most of these master-student, protege-mentor relationships in shonen.
And when you referenced that, when you told me that, I was wondering to myself, is it really all that different? But yeah, there are so many aspects about this particular relationship that kind of transcends almost all of its contemporaries.
Yeah, like when I think shonen, when I think like the wise old sensei, the master that teaches the student, first thing that comes to mind is, you know, your Goku and Krillin training under Roshi and Dragon Ball. Yeah, your Goku and under King Kai.
I don't understand why you're looking at me like that.
And because I'm that guy, you know, you're Naruto and Sasuke training under Kakashi.
Let's be honest, that was mostly... Well, no, Sasuke actually gets his own little thing, but...
Yeah, I mean, they had a real... Like, when it comes to an actual personal relationship, because in Dragon Ball, like, yeah, Roshi teaches Goku lots of stuff. Like, hey, here's how you do that Kamehameha wave.
Well, it's sort of funny, because he doesn't actually teach him how to do the Kamehameha.
Yeah.
He just kind of mimics what Roshi does the first time he does it, and then does it.
Yeah, but you think about, like, teaching him the way the world works, teaching him who he is as a person, like...
Yeah, he actually has a bit to shape him up. And mostly just kind of through running him through the paces.
Yeah, and like here's the thing, Dragon Ball at the time was a parody of these shonen cliches, these martial arts cliches.
Well, yeah, martial arts cliches. In terms of shonen cliches, it really actually kind of set a lot of those. But yeah, when it comes to the martial arts training, it is wholeheartedly a self-serious parody in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it works very well. It's funny stuff, but you also see real progress with Krillin and Goku. And then when we get to King Kai, there's a little less mentordom there. And it's funny, in the manga, you barely see any of his actual training. Mm-hmm. But you can definitely see that King Kai helps shape him into be the fighter that he is as an adult.
I mean, you can see him trying, but a lot of the time, Goku just doesn't listen. Like, hey, Goku, don't fight Frieza. Okay, but I'm a duck him in the schnoz, though.
Yeah. And with Naruto and Sasuke, they learned a lot of techniques. That's a lot of technique training, as well as a little bit of, like, this is how you be a proper ninja. Mm-hmm. Although, honestly, when it comes to mentordom in Naruto, that's all about Jiraiya and Naruto.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Kakashi, I think the big thing that I think about is that first appearance where he gives them their test with the bells, and the whole thing that he's trying to impart upon them is, no, teamwork is everything, loyalty to your team is everything. Being able to punch guys and turn into logs is secondary.
Yeah, and in that role, he's very much a teacher for these kids, but Jiraiya tries to be a real mentor to Naruto. tries to sit him down and teach him the way the world works and not just ninja training, and tries to, you know, help him be a better person as well as a ninja.
Yeah, but actually when it comes to that in Naruto, I think the best example, which is kind of weird because you do not see much of their training, they're introduced sort of as a pair, but Rock Lee and Guy, you can see in a very direct way the way that Guy's philosophy of ninjadom imprints itself on Rock Lee.
Oh yeah, it's kind of fantastic in a way, because at first I swore up and down, that's Guy's kid.
Yeah.
That's his son. And no.
Yeah, but the Deku All Might, we sort of made some notes here. Like, let's talk about some of the ways that they follow that model. Like, most obviously, Deku, he's not even Deku yet. He's Midoriya.
Yeah, Izuku Midoriya.
Yep. First and foremost, he gets a big old power up when he meets All Might. He is famously quirkless until All Might passes on his quirk, and that's, like, plot-wise, functionally, that is the first and foremost thing that a mentor does in this sort of shonen anime. Why does Goku go to King Kai? Because he needs that Genki-Dama, and he needs that Kaioken.
Yeah. It's really fascinating because, of course, Izuku, Midoriya is introduced as the biggest fanboy alive of All Might. Mm-hmm. So their introduction is kind of hilarious and kind of heartfelt. But yeah, it turns into this, a way for, again, the quirkless kid, the kid who's basically treated like dirt by a lot of his classmates and friends because he won't accept his place in the world. He gets this power up from All Might to become the next symbol of peace. And it's hard to talk too much about that without going over other points, so.
Yeah. And he also does, in those first few episodes, he custom makes this training regimen, says, hey, follow this, and you'll get strong enough to handle this power. And that is the most direct, like, you see that, and it is very reminiscent of Goku and Krillin punching furrows in the ground and delivering milk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And not only that, he even goes as far as to give him this sort of, what would you call it, this training through practical work,
mm-hmm.
by cleaning up this beach.
Yep.
He's like, hey, so this beach gets treated like shit by everybody. So what you're going to do is you're going to clean all of this up, but in the meantime, it's going to make you stronger, it's going to make you faster, it's going to make you more resilient.
Yeah.
And that's classic shonen. That is like,
yeah, that's very Karate Kid, wax on, wax off.
Very Rocky, what, 2?
I have not seen any of the Rockies.
Yeah.
I kind of want to change that, but I haven't yet.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting because Izuku Midoriya, not to spoil anything from the manga at all, he starts off being unable to properly use these powers.
Mm-hmm.
He needs a teacher there. He needs a mentor. He cannot just be given these powers and, let go to do whatever he wants with them. He needs somebody to slowly work him into this. And we see that from All Might. And All Might is a very, is always very close with Midoriya.
Other things that follow the same model, All Might, you already touched on, he's a big source of inspiration.
Yeah.
And he's passing on a legacy, which, again, going back to Naruto, legacy is a big part of that. It comes down to Naruto through Kakashi, who was taught by Jiraiya, who was, like, going all the way back.
Yeah, and at this point, I think we're beyond the territory of spoilers to say that, yeah, Jiraiya, who was taught by, was he taught by the third?
See, by that point, I had kind of checked out. But
actually, it's hard to place, but yeah, we see the greatest, and basically, it's stated many times, yeah, the greatest hero in all of this world is All Might. He's the strongest, he's the fastest, he's the most charismatic, he is the symbol of peace.
Yep.
And now it falls upon Midoriya's quirkless shoulders to take up this mantle, take up this power, and then embody that similarly. Something that All Might himself had to take from the last person who held this power.
Yeah, but I think that's where it starts to diverge a little bit, because you're talking about how in the beginning, Midoriya cannot handle this power at all. All Might is not the person who trains him to overcome that. All Might doesn't, he gives a lot of broad guidance, but he doesn't teach a whole lot of technique. When it comes to teaching how do you punch stuff, he passes him off to, Gran Torino, the person who trained him, to Eraserhead, Midoriya's homeroom teacher.
Yeah, the other teachers at UA.
Yeah. All Might is very much a mentor, not a teacher. And in fact, it's a plot point that he has never been a teacher. He doesn't really know how. He's not very good at it yet.
Yeah, it's stated by other teachers. Eraserhead himself is like, you're not cut out for this. And he's like, I know, but it is what I must do. And it's fascinating to watch this guy who's had this power, who's been this, you know, again, the symbol of peace, try to pass on his knowledge and the philosophy that he had learned to Midoriya, at this point, Deku. And it's heartfelt, and it's a lot more human than you see in a lot of these shows. Because as you said, he's not the teacher, but he's trying to inform him of, like, this is what you need to do to not only be a better person, but a better hero.
Yeah, and another point of difference is that from day one, All Might is vulnerable with Deku. Deku is one of the only people that he shares, like, hey, by the way, here is this skinny, scrawny, weakling form that is sort of the real me.
Yeah, but almost not first, but second glance, Deku gets to see a part of him that literally nobody else is allowed to see outside of a few select people at UA.
Yeah, and even with those people, like, yeah, he shares the very physical weakness that he's struggling with, but it seems like it's really only with Deku that he shares his fears about the future.
Yeah, he doesn't have a whole lot of people to talk to about these sorts of things. Aizawa / Eraserhead doesn't seem all that close to him, although you could definitely call them friends at a base level. And Gran Torino, yeah, he's not the kind of guy you go to with your feelings. He is this old, jaded man who was never even properly a hero in the first place. He just trained All Might. So with Deku, with Midoriya, he has to sit down and tell him these things because he knows that Deku is about to enter that world. He has to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, and that is the other big thing. You see a lot of, in these sorts of stories, your trickster mentors who, you know, like the whole wax on, wax off thing, you know? He's not telling him, this is how you block a strike. He's telling him, no, just do what I say, wax my car, and only later does he learn, oh man, I was learning techniques the whole time. That's not the way All Might does it. He's very straight ahead with what he's trying to do.
Yeah, actually, speaking of Gran Torino, that's what Gran Torino does. He does trick him, and he does get under his skin, and he gets, like, luckily Deku is somebody who very instantly picks up on this stuff. He honestly, you could probably have told him and he still would have done it, because Deku's a smart kid. That's a great part of Deku's character and why he works so well with with All Might, is that he's smart, he understands, which is, again, that's good, because as we said, if All Might had somebody who was even just a little less quick on the uptake, he might not have been able to make the progress that he had in such a short time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then one of the things, like, kind of the reason why I wanted to have this conversation, when I realized, wow, this is different than just about any other relationship like this that I've seen, is the incredible amount of pressure that All Might puts on him. In the second season, when they're doing the sports festival, All Might tells him, I don't just want you to get by, because that's all Deku's thinking of. He's, I've got this power that I can't control. I've never had a quirk. I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like I'm doing great if I just get a passing grade, if I just do okay. And All Might says, no, that's not good enough. I want you to come in first. I want you to say to the world, hey, here I am. Look at me.
Yeah.
He forces Deku to rise to that occasion in a way that, yeah, that he just would never have done on his own.
And part of that comes down to All Might recognizing that not only is his time, running out, he knows that not only can he not remain a hero forever, he's most likely not going to live to see Deku become a hero. So he knows that not only is his time short, but there's also this growing sense of danger in the world. I'm not going to speak towards manga spoilers. We're only talking about what's in the anime. But there are things in the manga telling you, yeah, things are getting worse. The danger is becoming increasingly not only bigger, but more insidious. He sees that. He knows. And the less of him there is in the world, the vacuum there is going to be tremendous. So he has to push Deku. He has to tell him, yeah, guess what? You've got to be the best. Because if you're not, what's the world gonna do?
Yeah, but it's such a paradox almost, because on the one hand, yeah, he is putting this incredible amount of pressure on him, forcing him to rise to the occasion. On the other hand, it never feels judgmental. I can't think of a single time when All Might seemed disappointed in him, even when he doesn't quite, like, I guess it's a minor spoiler, by the way, for the second season. Deku does not come in first.
Yeah. Now, Deku, in fact, he comes close.
Yeah.
The fight between him and Todoroki is so close. And the fact that, and that's even emphasized by the fact that when Todoroki goes into his next match, the final match, he loses kind of due to, like, overexertion.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he doesn't come in first, but he did his best. That's all that All Might wants from him is to give it his all, because he knows that any less will not be good enough.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I feel like I might be starting to repeat points here,
yeah,
which might tell us that it's close to time to wrap up. But the comparison, going outside of Shonen for a second, the comparison that came to mind was Harry Potter and Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Like, very much that same style of storytelling. Like, Harry Potter's sort of an anime by way of the British school days tradition of literature.
Comparing these characters to Harry Potter characters? What is this, Twitter? But no, you're absolutely right. I wouldn't have thought about that had you not said it. But yeah, absolutely.
But the difference there is that Dumbledore keeps secrets. Dumbledore very consciously does not put pressure on Harry because he doesn't feel he's ready. He does not communicate the stakes, and without going too far into spoilers for a, what, 10-year-old series,
yeah,
of books now, but does not fully communicate the extent of the sacrifice that will be demanded of Harry. All Might is right up front from the beginning. If you're gonna train under me, if I'm gonna pass on this power, it's because I believe that you are capable of becoming my successor.
And I think the reason behind that is that he sees the dedication behind Deku's eyes. He knows that that fanboy, that, like, him being a fanboy of All Might isn't, oh, I just think you're really cool. He is obsessed with the idea that All Might represents. He's a fan of him because he sees that he's the hero that he wants to become. And that's the difference. It's not just, oh, I just want to be a great hero and I want to be cool like you. He's, I want to be the hero that makes people smile in times of stress or dismay or tragedy. I want to be the guy who protects not one person, not 10 people, all the people. I want to be the great protector.
Yeah, and All Might talks about his smile being a way of tricking his fear, a way of using it as a shield. And I think that is something that Deku sees, the facade, and seeing what's behind that facade doesn't come across as a betrayal, but just as one more thing to live up to know that, yeah, okay, it's okay that I feel fear, it's okay that I don't feel good enough.
Yeah, in a way, how human and how vulnerable All Might is to Midoriya is only a way for Midoriya to tell himself, I can do this. I can be that guy. So.
Yeah, you can feel like you're not good enough and do it anyway. Yeah, that's what I found so inspiring in a way that I never expected in, for me, a brand new show in 2017, now 2018.
A shonen of all things.
Yeah, I would have told you that shonen was dead. It's been done better in the past. Get it out of here. Show me something new. And no, this brought it back for me in a real way. And I think this relationship is kind of at the core of that. It felt human and relatable in a way that shonen really hasn't for me in the past.
Yeah, and I think that's rung true for many people, because as we said, My Hero Academia, it's a huge series, incredibly popular, and it's so hard to understand at first glance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know a lot of people who have seen this show and thought, well, what's so good about it? Yeah,
yeah,
sure, it's flashy, it's colorful,
but
it looks really generic.
Yeah, isn't it just Naruto with superheroes instead of ninjas? And
okay, it kind of is, but...
but it's so well done, and it takes that framework and is just an exemplary example of it.
Yeah, and it's so much more than that as well.
Absolutely. Well, now we're starting to get on to stuff that we can talk about in future videos, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm loving this show. I'm looking forward to continuing to love this show once that third season rolls around.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Thank you for joining me and talking through some of these ideas with me, Scott.
Oh, absolutely, Ben.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. And if you don't know, you can catch us talking about shit like this every week on Anime FMK with our good buddy Kieran.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So that's our show. Nope, we're cutting this part out. That last part was a better part to end on.